They were preaching the name of Christ in an area where those in authority were opposed to the followers of Christ. They had a good name among the people. However, the elites did not approve of their message. There were signs and wonders done among the people as the message of Christ was shared. The sick were healed and demons were cast out of people. The authorities came and seized those preaching and put them into jail. Miraculously, God sent an angel that opened the doors of the jail and told them to go back and speak the words of life. Even after being arrested and thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, these followers of Christ proclaimed the message with boldness. They were arrested again, beaten, and once again commanded by the authorities not to speak the name of Jesus. How would we respond in this situation? What would we do? Would we stop the first time being arrested? Would we stop sharing the name of Christ after being beaten? How did these men respond? Well, in Acts 5, 41 and 42, we see their response. It says in verse 41, "Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name." Verse 42, "Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah." One of these men was the Apostle Peter. And we've been reading the book that he wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter. We've been looking in this book. And he is not writing this letter, 1 Peter, from theorizing what it would be like to be under the fiery ordeal. He is writing as one who has been through the fiery ordeal, was in a fiery ordeal, and would soon die for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's continue our study of 1 Peter 4 today as we look at verses 12 through 14. In verse 12, the Apostle Peter says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when His glory is revealed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you." Our Father, as we have read your word just now, we ask that you would not only bless the reading of your word, but you would bless the explanation of your word, and that you would bless the reception of your word. We ask that you would help us to receive your word implanted upon our hearts, and that it would bear fruit. Help us as we go through the fiery ordeal to have courage, to take courage, to rejoice as we share in the sufferings of Christ. Help us to understand that when ridicule comes upon us for the name of Jesus, that it means that the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon us. And so, Lord, help us to take courage from this message today, and may you be glorified in and through your church. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, as we look in these verses, we are paying particular attention to verse 14, and the message is clear. Be blessed. We see two things in particular about this blessing that we have in verse 14. We see the condition for the blessing and the reason why we are blessed. So we'll start with the condition. The condition for the blessing is ridicule. That's right, ridicule. Now, the word ridicule means to find fault in a way that demeans the other, reproach, revile, mock, heap insults upon. And so this is something that we oftentimes face, and it may not necessarily be for the name of Christ. We face ridicule for many reasons. It might be your political persuasion. If you are a conservative surrounded by liberals, you may face ridicule. If you're a Republican surrounded by Democrats, you might face ridicule. If you are a have or a have not, ridicule will be there. As we have seen since last October, we have seen how supporters of Palestine have ridiculed supporters of Israel and vice versa. And there are many other reasons why people ridicule each other. And an individual could face ridicule for just being mean, being narcissistic or inconsiderate, and other reasons. The ridicule, though, that is spoken of here in Scripture is not a ridicule that is brought on ourselves because of something we have done or having a certain view regarding social issues. It's not a ridicule for even being from the South or even being a Baptist. Let's look at that first phrase of verse 14 again. In 1 Peter 4:14, that first phrase there is, if you are ridiculed for the name of Christ. And so there is a condition for the ridicule. We can't say that we're blessed simply because we're ridiculed. We are blessed when we are ridiculed for the name of Christ. If we are ridiculed for any other reason, we cannot say that we are blessed. But if we are ridiculed for the name of Christ, we are indeed blessed. Regrettably, we do not often face ridicule for the name of Christ. And we have to question ourselves, have we ever really been ridiculed for the name of Jesus? However, if we do find ourselves being ridiculed or insulted for Christ, do we try to hide our Christianity and escape that ridicule? Or do we consider ourselves blessed? We are blessed, according to Scripture here, we are blessed if we are ridiculed for the name of Christ. As we think about the different ways that the original word for blessed can be translated, one way that it can be translated is happy. You go to the Beatitudes, and in some translations you see the word happy. Other translations you see blessed. And so, when we think about this word blessed and happy, it can be interchangeable. And so, understanding that, we should not only consider ourselves blessed when we face ridicule for the name of Jesus, but we should be happy to suffer ridicule for his name. I am happy to suffer ridicule for the name of the one who spilled his blood for me. I'm happy to suffer ridicule for the name of the one who suffered the cross for me. I am happy to suffer ridicule for the name of the one who died for me. I am happy to suffer ridicule for the one who rose from the dead. I am happy to suffer ridicule for the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. I am happy to suffer ridicule for the one who saved me. And I am happy to suffer ridicule for the one who is coming back for me. And I hope that you can say the same thing, and I hope that I can say the same thing that I just said day after day, week after week, year after year, until Jesus comes back. I hope that I can consider myself blessed and happy to suffer ridicule for the name of Christ. You know, we are truly blessed if we are ridiculed for the name of Jesus. You know, we might ask ourselves, why? Why should we feel truly blessed? Why should we feel happy if we are ridiculed for the name of Christ? Well, we ought to consider ourselves happy. And so why should we consider ourselves to be blessed to suffer ridicule for the name of Christ? First of all, it indicates that you're saved. If you're ridiculed for the name of Jesus, that is an indication that you have been born again, that you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 14 again. It says, or the last phrase of verse 14, it says there, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. The Holy Spirit will only come on and be in those and rest upon those who have been saved. If you've not been saved, then the Holy Spirit is not going to be in you, nor is he going to rest on you. But that will only happen if you have been saved. Let's look at Ephesians 1:14 for a moment here. It says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit is like a down payment that we would put on a house or something like that. The Lord is giving himself to us, guaranteeing us that he has saved us, is saving us, and will ultimately save us. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives should not only be that down payment and that assurance, but the presence of the Holy Spirit makes us a new creation and continues to work in us to make us like Christ. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives should make us so different from the world that the world will ridicule us, that the world will insult us and even persecute us. The Holy Spirit leads us to be salt and light in the world. Yet so many professing Christians are either lost, never knowing what it's like to have the Holy Spirit, or have so stifled Him through disobedience and outright rebellion that you cannot recognize His presence in His life. And so we ought to consider ourselves blessed and happy if we're ridiculed for the name of Christ, because that means that the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives and that we are on the right track of becoming more like Christ. The ridicule for the name of Christ blesses us because it indicates that the Spirit rests on us. Verse 14 in no way indicates that there are two spirits when it says there, the Spirit of glory and of God. It's the same Spirit, but He uses two different descriptors for that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of glory, may I submit to you today that we are not experiencing the glory of God as He wants us to, as He desires for us to. May I also submit to you that we have to be willing to be ridiculed for the name of Christ before we will ever see a glimpse of God's glory. In other words, we must go all in for God, for us to be able to see His glory all around us. We need to be able to let go of our dignity. We have to let go of our popularity and acceptance by the world. We must be willing to lose our Baptist dignity, if you will, for the sake of God's glory. And if we'll do that, we'll see Him victorious, that being God. We'll see Him having victory in our lives in even the most dire of circumstances. But regrettably, we would rather have acceptance from the world than to see God's glory. You know, it's been said by a Baptist preacher one time, I was Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Regrettably, when it comes to seeing God's glory, too many Baptists today are the walking dead and unable to experience the glory of God in their lives. If the Spirit of glory rests upon us, then we ought to get excited. We ought to give praise. We ought to give glory to God. We ought to have an extreme elation that we're able to witness the glory of God, whether it would be corporately or privately, but any time that we experience the glory of God, we ought to be excited. And this is not a faith that is dull or boring. And it's one in which we get to experience the glory of God. And so Peter here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us that we are blessed when we're ridiculed for the name of God, because it indicates that the Spirit of glory rests upon us. And not just the Spirit of glory, but another descriptor used for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God, they are the same Spirit. It's not two different spirits. The same Spirit, Spirit of glory, Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, rest upon us. And that is the indication of that, is that we're ridiculed for the name of Jesus. And so think about that again. The Spirit of God rests upon us. So when we are ridiculed for the name of Christ, we can recognize that the Spirit of God rest upon us. This should be something that we ought to ponder. We should never get over. We should always walk in that idea that the Spirit of God rests upon us, but not just upon us, but inside of us. That the Almighty, the Spirit of Almighty God, rests upon us. We're not really suffering persecution here, but when it does get here, if we're truly saved, if the Spirit of God truly rests upon us, we're going to suffer for the name of Christ. It's not going to be a little bit of persecution. It's going to be all-out persecution. But as that persecution comes, as hardship comes for the name of Christ, as you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, do not forget that the Spirit of Almighty God rests upon you if you're in Christ. And what that means is that the one who cannot lose, the one who has already won the war, the one who is almighty, the one who created everything by his spoken word, his Spirit rests upon you. And if his Spirit rests upon you, then you cannot be defeated. He's already won. All that has to happen is what he said would happen. And that is thinking about Jesus coming for his church. So while it may seem that the world is in complete pandemonium, we can rest assured that the Lord is in complete control. He already knows how things are going to happen. He's working in current events to bring about his glory and to prepare the world for the return of his Son. And so as we face hardship, as we are persecuted for the name of Jesus, we need to trust God. We need to serve God. We need to live for him with the understanding that if we are in him, he will see us to the end. So the question is, are you truly in him? Are you facing hardship for the name of Christ? If so, then you can rejoice. You can be joyful because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Father, I thank you for the day that you've provided us to live for you. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that rests upon those of us that are in Christ. And Lord, as we face difficult times, as we face persecution for the name of Christ, we ask that you would help us to be encouraged, knowing that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.